Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Michael Cohen, filling in for Cheryl today. Stem cell research in Michigan making significant breakthroughs since it was approved by voters in 2008, although some lawmakers want to keep a closer eye on how the research is being conducted. To find out more about the current state of stem cell research and its likely impact on the future of medicine, I'm talking to Dr. Eva Feldman, director of the University of Michigan's Taubman Medical Research Institute. Welcome to the show, Dr. Feldman.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, a member of the State House has presented legislation that would require detailed reporting on stem cell research at universities, including how many embryos are used. Is that something you would oppose?
Well, I feel that we're very highly regulated now by the federal government, and to impose more regulations on us would clearly slow us down in terms of our ability to do our research to make a real therapeutic impact. And so I don't truly believe we need more regulation. And I should also point out that in 2008, when the voters passed the constitutional amendment, it stated actually in the amendment that the legislature cannot pass laws that would restrict or impede this research. And I really think that's the intent of the law. I truly don't believe that the intent of the law is to provide true oversight, but the intent of the law is to impede us, to give us more and more paperwork to do, which will slow us down. So yes, it would slow us down.
As a scientist, how do you view the concerns of those who are pro-life and oppose the use of human embryos for research?
I think that when people truly understand what we are doing, I've actually never had anyone oppose it once I've explained it. So maybe I could take a moment, Mike, and explain this to you of what we do here at the University of Michigan and what's done at all the other major universities in the country. In an in vitro fertilization clinic, as you know, a man donates sperm and a woman donates an egg, and in a test tube we put the sperm and egg together. And what are created are small embryos. Only a few of those embryos can actually be used for implantation. Those, of course, are used for implantation by the couple. But then if the couple decides they can take those embryos that are not used for implantation and donate them to a consortium or institute like ours where we would create new stem cell lines, if they're not donated to us, then they're literally destroyed. So, you know, we say that we are pro-life because we take embryos that would be destroyed otherwise, and we create new stem cell lines with them.
Now, before we get to the actual research that you're doing, how soon are we likely to see stem cell therapies become widely available to the public?
Well, of course, as you know, we do use stem cell therapies widely in terms of bone marrow transplant currently for many of our blood diseases such as leukemia, and we also use stem cell transplants for lymphoma. So we are currently doing stem cell transplants as part of our routine medical care. In terms of the use of embryonic stem cells or stem cells that are primarily embryonic, or what I also like to call as adolescent stem cells, those stem cells, I think, are several years away from actually being applied to the clinic, but they will be applied. Mike, I personally am the principal investigator on a stem cell trial for Lou Gehrig's disease, and in this particular case, we are injecting stem cells into the spinal cords of patients who suffer from Lou Gehrig's disease, a disease where the large nerve cells in the spinal cord slowly wither away and die, bringing on paralysis and the inability to breathe for patients. And so we've actually done 12 patients now. It's an FDA-approved phase 1 safety trial, and we plan on doing 15 additional patients with the FDA's approval. Once we can show this is safe, then we can do a therapeutic or efficacy trial. So in my own trial using stem cells for a lethal neurologic disorder, I anticipate in 2 to 3 years we could actually have a therapy. And those types of timelines are what many other investigators are seeing currently.
It seems that a big portion of this country's illnesses are due to lifestyle issues, obesity, smoking, things of that sort, rather than genetic factors. Is stem cell research or therapy likely to be used on a small portion of the population?
It's likely to be used primarily for individuals with neurodegenerative diseases at first and injuries. So, for example, patients with Alzheimer's disease, which is actually in epidemic proportions now in the United States. Patients with Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, those are all diseases that would be very amenable to stem cell therapy. Now, interestingly, and then there are, of course, the diseases of childhood, such as the muscular dystrophies, that would be amenable. Diseases such as spinal cord injury, so those are, you know, injuries, trauma, might be very amenable. Now, to get to your question, though, about clearly lifestyle problems, I mean, we have a diabetes epidemic here in this country. We have an obesity epidemic. A lot of those patients do suffer from myocardial infarctions, from heart attacks, and there is proposals, of course, to use stem cells to in those individuals. So it's not just that stem cells would be used for neurodegenerative diseases or the muscular dystrophies, but also the stem cells might have a greater and large impact on patients with poor lifestyle choices who do develop, for example, heart attacks. Those same patients, those same individuals frequently have strokes. There's talk about using stem cells in stroke. There certainly have been used in animal models of stroke. So to say that it's going to be limited to a small number of individuals, I think is probably not true. I think as we begin to use stem cell therapy more, understand it more, it's really going to cross a very wide path of disorders, from cancer to heart disease to stroke to the neurodegenerative diseases to the childhood diseases.
You know, one thing that drew a lot of attention to embryonic stem cell research and potential therapy is the idea that it could heal those paralyzed in accidents. Do you see that happening?
There are certainly trials involved. So currently there is a trial using embryonic stem cells. The company is known as Geron, and they are out of California. And they have a FDA-approved clinical trial using stem cell therapy during the acute phase of a spinal cord injury. They have entered patients into this trial. I personally know one was recently entered in the city of Chicago. We are not ourselves doing this trial at the University of Michigan. So the trial will tell us, won't it? I mean, so we need to be able to do the trial. We need to be able to give this therapy to these individuals to see if it will allow them to heal and to have a better prognosis. And importantly, you know, spinal cord injury patients are primarily young people. This is a disorder of young people. It's those individuals who have the accidents and the trauma that cause spinal cord injury.
In layman's terms, can you give me a kind of a sense of how the embryonic stem cells would heal a person that has suffered brain or organ damage, and how that therapy would be applied?
Sure. Why don't I just talk about the disease I know the best, and that's Lou Gehrig's disease. And let me tell you what we have found so far in our work that led us to the FDA trial. So what we found is when we inject stem cells into the spinal cord, these stem cells are truly amazing. They migrate and they surround the sick nerve cells, and they nurse the sick nerve cells, and they make connections with the sick nerve cells. And the nerve cells that were then going to die no longer die and begin to appear healthy. So in this case, for Lou Gehrig's disease, they're not serving as a replacement therapy, but rather what they're doing is taking the existing cells and nourishing them back to health, and allowing them not to undergo the disease process that they were on the way to undergoing. So that's one example in Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other examples, for example, using stem cell therapy in joints and using stem cell therapy in muscles. And in those two disorders, it's believed that the stem cells could actually integrate into the muscle and actually form new muscle cells. So that would be an example of stem cells replacing, diseased muscle cells, the same with cells in joints.
I see. Dr. Eva Feldman, director of the University of Michigan's Taubman Medical Research Institute. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Feldman.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to Fritz and Friends. I'm Michael Cohen. We'll be right back with more on 1320 WILS.